Today we're going to be going to Hebrews chapter 11 and looking at chapter 11 today. I titled this just faith. Faith. Hebrews chapter 11. And let's open up in a word of prayer. Father, once again, we want to thank you for this opportunity you've given every one of us to go back into your word this morning. And as we always pray, Father, only you can open up the eyes, the ears, and the hearts of the hearers. We ask that you will do that this morning and bring them to the truth of your word and the truth of who Jesus Christ really is. And that salvation is by faith. It's by grace through faith. And Lord, once again, I ask you to empower me by your Holy Spirit to preach your word for your glory. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to look at, we're going to read the whole text, verses 1 through 40. Then we're going to come back and look at verses 1 and 2. We're going to get a description of faith. And then verses 3 through 40 is the examples of that faith that we're going to look at this morning. Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, being dead, still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found, because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child, when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had the promise. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in a multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received their promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declared plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now, they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called," concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of his sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasure of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he would destroy the firstborn should, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe, when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For a time will fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, also of David, and Samson, and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trials of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens, and in caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. The faith chapter. The faith chapter. All the way down through, God has given us great examples of those who walked by faith. Those who walked by faith. Because, let's get the description though, number one. Hebrews 11:1 again. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You see, faith, the faith that Scripture describes here in chapter 11 of Hebrews is not based on the visual. It is based on a God-given assurance, confidence, and conviction of a future reality. A belief that the Almighty God is a rewarder of those who put their faith and trust in Him. That's the faith that this is talking about. You see, if you look at the definition of faith, faith says is a belief and trust and loyalty to God. It also says it's a belief in the traditional doctrines of religion. And this one, I made a little footnote here because I do not fully agree with this one. It says it's a firm belief in something for which there is no proof, a complete trust. I got a little question, a star there says, I do not fully agree with this. Why? Because I believe the Bible talks about that we know that there's an Almighty God. First of all, I want to share this one with you. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 33. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 33. I always wanted to say this to somebody. They say the Bible is not true and God's Word is not true. I always wanted to bring this verse up to them. Proverbs 30, verse 33. I don't want to do this to them because I'm afraid you might get hit. But it says, for as the churning of milk produces butter, and the wringing the nose produces blood, so the forcing of wrath produces strife. You see, if I walked up to somebody and they said, I don't believe the Bible, and I reached up and grabbed a hold of her nose and twisted real hard, I think it's going to bleed. I think it's going to bleed. You see, the Bible is not a blind faith. Christianity is not a blind faith. Also, I wanted to share this with you. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Verse 18 through 26. Because I believe the Bible talks about this faith that we know that there's a God. Because creation screams there's a God. So this, a firm belief is something, for there is no proof. We have proof. God has given us His proof. Even the lives of Christians, supernaturally transformed, walking in obedience to Christ, is a proof that the Bible is real and salvation is true. So Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through 26. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because, although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile, and their thoughts and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible, God into the image made like corruptible man, in birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. So as we can see by Scripture, that this faith, we know we can look at the revelation of God, the Bible, and know that there is a God. He tells us that in His Word. But the faith, back to chapter 11. The faith we read there also will allow us to go through suffering. Romans chapter 8, verse 18 says, For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not compared, worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Verse 24 of the same chapter says, For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. And also, we can all probably quote this verse, Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Verse 37 of the same chapter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors to Him who loved us. Verse 38 and 9. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. As we put that kind of as a backdrop of Hebrews chapter 11, we know that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. That helps us out as we go through trials and tribulations in our life. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 through 18 says, Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. That's why we got to keep our spiritual eyes focused on the eternal, not the temporal. That's a description of faith. We have to keep our spiritual eyes focused on the eternal, not the temporal. We can't look at the circumstance every time and try to go by our own wisdom and knowledge to understand it. We have to know that God's got something better for us, even though we go through trials and tribulations. That's why at the end of chapter 11 of Hebrews, look at all the examples of what God give us to say, all these people by faith did this. But even at the end, some of them didn't get the promises. They were persecuted, tortured, killed. But they had faith. They had faith. Second Corinthians 5, verse 7 says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." We walk by faith, not by sight. Once again, I want to share with you some insights. We've been walking through this book of Hebrews with John MacArthur in his commentary. But I want to share with you, what about faith? What faith is? You see, the first century Jews saw everything as a matter of works. Even after being shown the basic truths of the New Covenant, the tendency was for them to try to fit these new principles into the mold of works righteousness. By the time of Christ, Judaism was no longer the supernatural system God had originally given. It had been twisted into a works system with all kinds of legalistic requirements. It was a system of self-effort, a self-salvation, and a self-glorification. It was far from the faith system that God had given. In many ways, it was a religious cult built on ethics. As all work systems, it was despised by God, particularly because it was a corruption of the true system which He had given. God has never redeemed man by works, but always by faith. As this chapter makes clear, from the time of Adam on, God has honored faith, not works. Works has always been commanded as a byproduct of faith, never a means of salvation. God does not tolerate any self-imposed ethical system as a means of reaching Him. This theme of faith connects with chapter 10, where the writer has already presented the principle of salvation by faith, of which the saints named in chapter 11 are the examples. He quoted from Habakkuk, a Jewish prophet, reinforcing the truth that this was a principle of redemption that God has always honored. But my righteous one shall live by faith. Habakkuk 2:4. Faith is a way to life, and faith is a way to live. There has never been any other way. You see, these Jews who had heard the powerful arguments about the superiority of the new covenant over the old are being told that in regard to faith, these two covenants are the same. That is, the faith principle did not originate with the new covenant. It was also active in the old. In fact, it was active the moment man fell and needed a way back to God. It originated even before the earth began. Since God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, it says in Ephesians 1, and since the only way God accepts us in Christ is by faith, then God obviously established salvation by faith at that time. When? Before the foundation of the world. The way back to God, as far as man's part is concerned, is by faith. It always has been by faith and only by faith. In the Old Testament times, men and women had to rest on the promises of God. God had told them of a coming Messiah, a deliverer who would take away sin. He told them that one day all Israel would be made clean and would be ruled by this righteous Messiah. God's faithful believed God's promises, as incomplete and vague as many of these promises were. They did not have a great deal of specific light by New Testament time standards. But they knew it was God's light. And they put their full trust and hope in it. That is what faith is. That's what it's about. Faith is living and a hope that is so real, it gives absolute assurance. The promises given to the Old Testament saints were so real to them because they believed God, that they based their lives on them, on Him. All the Old Testament's promises related to the future for many believers, far into the future. But the faithful among God's people acted as if they were in the present tense. They simply took God at His word and lived on that basis. They were people of faith. And faith gave present assurance and substance of what was yet future. Faith is not a wistful longing that something may come to pass in an uncertain tomorrow. True faith is an absolute certainty. Often, things that the world considers unreal and impossible. Christian hope is belief in God against the world, not belief in the improbable against the chance. If we follow God, whose audible voice we have never heard, and believe in Christ, whose face we have never seen, we do so because our faith has a reality. It has a substance, an assurance that is based on God and His promises. It is unshakable. You see, that's a description of faith. Examples. Verses 3 through 40, we read through it. We start in verse 3 of Hebrews 11. By faith, we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Verse 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice. Verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as inheritance. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise. Verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, his only begotten son. Verse 23. Moses, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. Verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. That's a great example for us today. As God's people, would we rather suffer affliction for the glory of God? Or would we rather be with the crowd and enjoy sin? Verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, verse 31, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. And he goes on to say, and what more? He can list many more illustrations, examples of faith. What they did. Through faith, they subdued kingdoms. They worked righteousness. They obtained promises. They stopped the mouths of lions. They quenched the violence of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness, they were made strong. They received the dead back to life. But others had trials of mockings and scourgings. Some had chains and imprisonments. Some were stoned. Some were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins. They were afflicted, tormented. But I like verse 38 of chapter 11 of Hebrews, of whom the world was not worthy. You see, this faith, these examples of faith, they serve as a pattern for us. A good example You know, there is, as examples, there's good examples and there are bad examples. We want to look to God's Word. Look to God's people who are truly walking by faith. And use them as examples. You see, real, true faith accepts God's divinely orchestrated plans. And from that, we rest on His promises and rely on His provisions. You got to remember, focus on the eternal, not the temporal. Or as Charles Stanley says, obey God and leave all results up to Him. You see, that's faith. As we conclude, faith, your salvation is through faith. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. See how this all fits in with the book of Hebrews. And he's talking to those who are caught up in the Levitical system. That was a work system. He said, you got to get off the work system and get on faith. You have to come through salvation to God by faith. Faith through His Son, Jesus Christ. You see, Romans chapter 4, let me read this to you. Romans chapter 4, about faith. And this would really speak to the Jewish, these Hebrews, this faith, this chapter to me. If you're on a works salvation, if you're on a works system, this is a great chapter to have somebody read. Romans chapter 4. It says, Abraham was justified by faith. Verse 1 of Romans 4. What then shall we say? That Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about. But not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as a debt. Let's look at verse 5. You see, David celebrates the same truth that says here, but to him who does not work but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Just as David also described the blessedness of a man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from the works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Blessed is a man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. Verse 9. Does this blessed then come upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcised also? For we say that faith was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. How then was it accounted? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised. And he received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness of faith which he had while he still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all those who believe, though they are uncircumcised, that righteousness may be imputed to them also, and the father of circumcision to those who not only are of the circumcision, but who also walk in the steps of faith which our father Abraham had while still uncircumcised. Verse 13. For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law of heirs, faith is made void and a promise made of no effect. Because the law brings about wrath. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are the faith of Abraham, who is a father of us all, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. In the presence of him who believed, God, who gives life to the dead, and calls those things which do not exist as they did, on contrary to hope, And hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, in the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to perform, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. A lot to read. But as you go through the Bible, you see the New Testament, faith. Faith, the promise granted through faith. He gives us in the New Testament examples from the Old Testament of the faith they had, that God brought them through faith. As Romans 5, 1 and 2 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom also we have access by faith into this grace, in which we stand rejoiced in the hope of the glory. So, your salvation is by grace, through faith. Your peace with God. You're justified by faith, with peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And Hebrews 11, 6 says, but without faith then, it is impossible to please Him. You see, true saving faith will have actions and works. This action and works helps validate the claim of your salvation. But I want to leave us with a warning on action and works. I want to leave you with a warning as written by Pastor John MacArthur. A warning to those who think you can work for your salvation. Because we are saved by grace through faith. Okay? It is a gift of God, not of works, lest man would boast. But then we were created for good works. Once we have salvation, we were created for good works after that. This warning here. Is a warning on action and works. Faith. James says, faith without works is dead. But true faith always has actions that support its claim. You see, earlier in the second chapter of his letter, James condemns a man who says he has faith, but who does nothing to help a fellow Christian need. In order for faith to be valid, it must visibly radiate itself in good works. If you really believe God, there will be an evidence of it in the way you live, in the things you say, and in the things you do. But Satan has continually tried to confuse and mislead people, including God's people, about faith and works. If possible, he would convince a person that they can be saved by doing certain good works. If this strategy works, that person will be lost to God because they put their faith in works. If a person trusts in God and is saved, Satan then tries to convince them of one of two extremes. That he must do good works to keep his salvation, which is legalism. Or that, now that he is saved by faith, he can forget all about the good works. A license. And I put, or, as some would say, gives him a license to sin. But From Genesis to Revelation, however, the Bible is clear that a person is saved only by faith, and that when he is saved, good works should follow as a result. The Apostle Paul, who so strongly proclaimed justification by faith alone, also proclaimed the life of good works for those who are justified. He says, instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, in 1 Timothy 6. You see, believers are in fact created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them, in Ephesians 2. So for all the saints listed in chapter 11 of Hebrews, their genuine faith was made known in something that they did. Faith cannot be seen except in the things that it does. And if it is a true faith, it will do many good things. So as you can see, you can go through chapter 11, the faith chapter, the hall of faith. You get the description of faith. But then you get examples, many examples of those whose faith, the faith they had, that true saving faith, will have actions and works. As Paul said to 2 Timothy 4:7, which is God's little promises this morning, he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Let's pray. Father, as we close this morning, we once again want to thank you for your word that we can look into, Lord. And there's many, many other examples in your word that talk about faith. What a Christian's supposed to live like. But Lord, we thank you that our salvation is not based on works. We can't get to you on a work system. And I pray for those that's caught up in that go to churches that based salvation on a system of works. That's not what your word says. We are saved by grace through faith. It's a gift from you. So I pray, Father, for those that's going to listen to this sermon, that if they are caught up in a work system salvation, that you open up their eyes to the truth of your word. Salvation is through your Son, Jesus Christ. All of our works is a filthy rags. We can't get there on our own. I pray that you will grant them true salvation. But then, help us all that are truly saved to go out and do good works for your glory. We want to go out and be salt and light into this world for you. We want to do good works so, Almighty God, you can be glorified. Help us not to get caught up in legalism, but into your word, Father, that tells us we have freedom in Christ, but a freedom that does not go against your word. As Paul says, he became to all men all things, but he did not go away from Christ. He was still under the law of Christ and of you. Help us not to compromise your word for good works, but help us to do good works for your glory. Father, I ask that you'll speak to these pastors. Help us to continually present your word, not compromised. Help us to challenge people by your word and ourselves to go out. And as Christ, as you said in your word, how's the world going to know that we're your disciples? And we have love one for another. Help us to have more love. for fellow believers in Jesus Christ, but also to go out and love the world as you love the world, and to share the gospel with them. All these things I ask in Christ's name. Amen.